Hi everyone, my name is Patrick Gill and I'm your host from The Aware Panel. The Aware Panel is a weekly podcast which talks about different societal issues ranging from racism, climate change, mental health, homeschooling, businesses and so much more. We believe that society needs to change and with more awareness to these topics, we continue to talk about it. If you want to be a guest on my show, please go to the website www.theawarepanel.com or either DM us on Instagram at theawarepanel. And yes, make sure you subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to listen to the next 25 episodes of Season 2 and also listen to the 25 episodes on Season 1 as we already had so many amazing people coming on. Today I had an inspiring conversation with Warren. Warren is an advocate for men's mental health following the loss of his child, Oliver. He is driven by his memory and his own experiences going through the loss of his son and stillbirth and the lack of support he found while he was dealing with his own mental health problems. Now he advocates other men to speak up more about their mental health. This was very inspiring and very brave to open up to such an experience and advocating those rights and seeing how he definitely helps men get over anxiety and depression following something traumatic. So let's just get on with the episode, guys. Hi everyone and welcome to another episode of The Aware Panel. Today I have Warren, who's going to talk about how men can have mental health problems and he recently lost a son. So Warren, do you want to introduce yourself in a bit more detail?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, my name's Warren Morris. I lost my son back in 2013, neonatal, after 19 hours. Following that, my mental health declined badly and I've pretty much been an advocate for male mental health and helping other fathers who've lost children to open up and speak more openly about it.
I think with this kind of topic, not many people focus in on like specifically men's mental health, because I know there's mental health like for much people, but I think there's more awareness amongst young people's mental health opposed to, like, for example, men's mental health. So I know that you, with your whole story, I read the whole story and I was very touched by it. And so how did you manage to like start to talk more about it and advocating the rights for men's mental health? Like, what was the main reason behind speaking more about it more than ever?
So following the loss, The hospital that we were at were really good. But after that, there was nothing. My partner had got support offered to her. I'd approached a national charity for support and got told there was nothing available for the dad. I spent another 6 months of that just on antidepressants. My anxiety went through the roof. And eventually, I'd managed to find a support organisation online called Daddies with Angels. And in that, it was a closed support group on Facebook and they encouraged you to speak openly about your loss, not to feel like it was a weakness to actually show any emotion and that it was okay to have these feelings and to grieve. And quite quickly from then, I realized how much people were discouraged, because you, as a society, you are taught as a man that big boys don't cry. And it's, for me, I found that quite damaging, because it makes you not want to speak out. It makes you feel as if you'll be laughed at. There's plenty of people that were going to work breaking down and workmates were laughing at them because they were bursting into tears. For me, that's not okay. And you should be able to express your emotions and talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, today, not many people speak up because maybe there is like a stigma that some people might go through like the toughest things but not speak about it because they may get like scared or something to either speak up about some experiences. Like, obviously, you lost your son at such a young age as well. And I know loads of people who wouldn't want to talk about it because they just are not open enough. So when you approach me to like talk about this story, I think it should be on because it's encouraging other people to speak about experiences. So when you actually did lose your son, what kind of feelings were you thinking at the time, and how did it affect you in the long term, like with your anxiety and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's a strange one, because when I sit and I try think back, I think my memory tries to kind of block it out to protect myself. But I just remember feeling it was almost like empty, because when I'd gone in that morning to see him in the neonatal unit, they wouldn't let us in initially, and then they came to get us an hour later. I'd gone in and they were working on him to try, like, you know, sort him out. And I had to sit there and watch them obviously work on him and then come tell me that there was no else that they could do. I remember we carried him round to the hospital ward and I just fell on the floor, sobbed my eyes out. It was a bit bad for me at the time, because I was living in Newcastle and all my family are from Bradford. So I didn't have my parents up here for that initial support. My partner's parents were fantastic. They came the same day to come and see him and us at the hospital. And my parents came the day after. But yeah, it was just a feeling of emptiness and helplessness. And, you know, you have this thing as a parent where it's your job to protect your children. And it almost felt like I'd failed.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who went through the same thing. Like my parents, they, before I was born, they had a stillbirth, twin boys. And they know exactly how you feel. Like, it is traumatizing when things happen. Like, you get so happy knowing that you're going to start a family, then all get crushed down all of a sudden.
Well, that's it. It's like you know, the instant you find out you're having a child, your mind runs away with itself. You know, you're like, oh, what they will be like when they're older, and you're losing all of that.
It's hard to imagine what, like, you went through, because you were obviously, like, imagining how would the kid turn out, how would their behaviour be, what would they be when they grow up, like, being so proud of them, and then all of a sudden it just doesn't happen. Especially for a 19-year-old, I know that you're starting to become an adult when you're 19 years old, but you're not right there. So how did it affect you being a 19-year-old and losing a son?
No, it's nearly 8 years ago that we lost him. And even that, my mental health to that point had been spotless. I'd never had any issues. I came from a middle-class background, never really had any problems with anything. And it kind of took me by surprise, because until that point, I'd never really had anything traumatic in my life happen to me. And it just broke me. And it was about 2 years ago, I ended up having a mental health breakdown.
And that's a bit scary, because, like, yeah, even before it even happened, you didn't face from any mental health problems or anything like that. Like, you didn't have, like, a traumatizing childhood, I'm guessing.
No.
So, like, something like this did start to affect you quite a lot. So it was after your son's passed away that you started to get the anxiety and the mental health breakdowns and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, it basically, within the first 6 months is when all that started. I ended up having to come out of work because of it, because I was getting on a train to work every day and having massive anxiety and panic attacks, and it just felt like the world was closing in on me. So I came back quite, I literally ended up just pretty much locking myself away in the house.
That's a bit scary. Like, how did it affect your relationship as a whole after the experience?
You kind of try grieve together, but ultimately we ended up growing apart and we separated just over a year ago. But yeah, it's almost, because me personally, I just shut down at the time. I wasn't talking, which, you know, looking back, is what I'm trying to get people to realize, that they need to be talking to each other. They need to be open and honest about the feelings, because the minute you close down is the minute you start losing the battle with your own mind, in my experience. And that's kind of where I started on the writing the blogs and doing my own dad's podcast.
So how did you manage to, like, bring yourself up? And, like you said, the support service that you attended, how did that manage to help you overcome the loss and the mental health breakdowns and stuff like that?
I got more and more involved in, because I was a trustee for the charity for a few years. So I kind of started giving back and, you know, encouraging other people to speak. And that was kind of my coping mechanism. I kind of threw myself into doing that as a distraction. And that helped. But obviously, still at the back of my mind were all the depression was still there, the anxiety was still there, and I was just trying to ignore it. But helping other people helped me immensely, just to be able to get somebody else to open up and realize what feelings they're having, you know, are completely normal.
Yeah. How do you think, like, how other men might feel? Like, because I know it's not spoken about quite a lot. So, coming from your experiences, would you think that men's mental health is very undermined today?
There's still a massive problem. I can't talk for the rest of the world, but especially in this country. The problem with when it comes to male mental health is that we are conditioned not to talk about it. You know, like I said before, like, you get told big boys don't cry and all the other stuff and man up. And I think that has a negative impact because eventually just don't feel comfy speaking about it. So that's where I think the mental health, like, especially because there's quite a higher number of suicide rates from men in this country and other mental health issues. And I think a lot of it stems down to the fact that they don't feel comfy talking about it. And society needs to recognize that, you know, men do struggle. We need encouraging to speak. That's not always an easy thing.
Definitely. I think, like, I'm from the UK, so I think we haven't heard much about men's mental health and how, like, something traumatic in life could just ultimately break it down. Like, today it's like the men need to be strong, and it's not, they tend not to show the emotional side as well. Like, that's what society puts on men, is not to cry, not to have a mental breakdown, just be strong for everyone and let the woman do the job of being emotional.
Yeah, that's because men and women grieve very, very differently. Like, women tend to be a lot more open. Not always, that's not always the case, but I'd say men are more a closed book when it comes to that sort of stuff. Men's initial response is they want to fix things. You can't really fix child loss, and you can't really fix your own mind unless, you know, you've got an absolutely amazing support network in place. But even then, a lot of the times you might feel silly for talking, because you'd be worried about the other person's reaction.
Yeah, I think today, I think with all mental health problems, people don't want to speak out because it's like it's placing a burden on the other person. Like, why would anyone else want to know more about your problems? That's what some people are thinking today. And I suffer from anxiety, depression and PTSD, and I certainly did think about that. Like, if I tell someone else, it's going to be a burden on them, and then they're going to think about it, and I don't want it on the other person. And do you feel like that?
Well, that's the initial response, isn't it? You're thinking of something in your head, and you're like, should I say it to this person? And then you're going around in your head is like, well, what if they laugh at me? What if they think I'm being silly? And then you kind of just shut yourself down and just don't bother.
Like, I certainly did feel that. And I know a lot of people, especially men, like my friends who are guys, they suffer from mental health problems and they're not speaking about it as much as, like, a woman would. They're not speaking about it a lot more. So I think that's the issue quite here, is trying to break down the stigma of trying to speak mental health at home.
Yeah, it's a societal issue as well, because, like I said, you know, growing up, you know, big boys don't cry, man up, all the rest of it, don't cry, don't be a sissy. It kind of conditions you, whereas, you know, for women, there's not really much of that stigma, I'd say, around talking about stuff.
That's true. I completely get it. Like, I think it needs to be talked about today, because not many people have much awareness, and so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on this podcast, is because so many men suffer from mental health problems but no one speaks about it. And so bring more awareness to something like that, I think it's incredible. So when you went to, like, the support system, how did it turn your head around and say, okay, so you saw the problem, what was happening, the traumatic experiences. How did you manage to change maybe your lifestyle or something like that during the years that you were trying to move on?
Yeah, so for me, every time I'd helped somebody, I kind of reflected on where I was at in, like, my grief stage. And then one day I was kind of just sat there and I'm like, you know, I'm telling all these people to do this, that and the other, and I'm not doing it myself. I was kind of stuck in a rut myself, and I realized that, you know, if I'm going to be telling other people that they need to, you know, open up more and talk about stuff, then, you know, I need to be doing the same thing. And that's pretty much when I started writing my blogs.
Okay, so how did your blogs made you more stronger into speaking more about the problem that you had?
I think it was the first time I'd wrote my entire story out about Oliver. I got like such an amazing reaction off people because I shared it on my own Facebook page, like so family and friends could read it. It was the feedback from that and others basically saying, you know, how strong the thought I was for speaking out, how that it would help other people realize that, you know, it's perfectly fine to speak out and not fear being, you know, ridiculed about it. From there on, I kind of just kept going with the blogs until, like I said, I started my podcast. And I think doing the podcast for me is a lot better than just writing.
So how did the podcast help to speak more about men's mental health as a whole?
So I've got another angel dad who lost his daughter and he co-hosts with me. So we pick out like topics about child loss and mental health and we'll just sit and have a discussion about it on the podcast. And I think having that other person to talk to kind of bounce stuff off of and realize, you know, they're feeling the exact same thing. It kind of makes you feel better that it's not just, you're not sat wallowing in self-pity as such, but like somebody else is having the exact same thoughts as you. And for me, that helped.
Yeah, I'm like, speaking about different topics as well, I think like it did try to help you overcome like maybe something to do with certain aspects of child loss. And like, since then, have you been able to like try to move on from the loss?
Yeah, I'd say like you never truly move on. It's always in the back of my head, but I'm in a lot of a better place now than I used to be. I'm in a new relationship. Me and my ex-partner had a little girl the year after, and she helped with the healing immensely. So she's now six, and I'm in a new relationship, and I've got a stepson as well. So like ultimately I'm in a much better place now than I was like a few years ago.
So how did your like your children now help to like help to move on from the whole experience, like your other children, like making you more happier and seeing that there is a light in the end of the tunnel?
Yeah, you see, when you're in my personal experiences, when you have another child following a loss, it's a bit of a double-edged sword because you know, you celebrate all their achievements, but then in the back of your mind, you're kind of thinking, you know, you're missing out on the, you know, the child that was lost. But it's a distraction because obviously children keep anybody quite busy. For me, just obviously having her here, now my stepson here as well, it's a good distraction. And, you know, at the end of the day, ultimately life does carry on and it's what you make it. So having the children around it's a really good distraction. If I didn't have other children, I don't know like what sort of mental state I'd be in.
Yeah, like especially like a rainbow baby definitely did help you. Like I'm a rainbow baby myself, and the happiness that my parents went when I was born like was truly like love, like all over. So I know how it feels for like everyone, like for people who has like a rainbow baby, because it definitely did it's like you try to have a child thinking about what the future were going to be, devastated and lost them, but then you have a rainbow baby who actually did try to actually does live. And you,
for me, like I remember more of my daughter's pregnancy than my son's, because obviously we had that extra worry because we know what till my son died, like, you know, everybody has this vision of pregnancy being really good, always positive, and I'd never seen that side of it, and that kind of scared me. So like the entire pregnancy for my daughter was every day was scary, and then for the last 6 weeks before she was born, her mother spent 6 weeks in hospital, so there was that extra thing. It took me about a year, I'd say, truly to bond with her because of that fear. And looking back, it's not something I'm proud to admit, but it did take me a good year to start bonding with her.
Yeah, I'm glad that like things are like getting better for you eventually. And like I'm just gonna wrap this up and give you one more question. What advice would you give to any guy who might have lost a child or trying to recover from a traumatic experience? What is your main advice to those kind of people?
I would say that even at your lowest, you are never truly alone. There is support networks out there for mental health, for child loss. There's private groups on Facebook where, you know, it's just men only if you don't feel comfy talking in front of the opposite sex. But ultimately, if you feel really low, do seek medical advice.
Yeah, definitely. Like, seek advice. Like, speak to anyone that you
trust. Yeah, speak to anybody that you think will listen to you and that you trust.
Yeah, definitely. I would say the same thing, to be honest. And stay strong for, like, and think about more about the future, I think. So thank you so much, Warren, for coming on. And do you want to promote your podcast, maybe?
Yeah, so if anybody would like to go onto Facebook, I have a page called Oliver's Wings and Rainbows. And on there are links. But my podcast is on most major platforms, and it's called Brain Heart Body.
Make sure to subscribe to Brain Heart Body. And yeah, so thank you, Warren, for coming on. And for anyone, also subscribe to the Wear Panel on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and make sure to leave a review of what you think so far of season 2. So yeah, so thank you, everyone, and take care. Bye. Thank you, everyone, for watching today's episode. I'm really glad that you loved the episode, and I hope that the episode brought more awareness to you and you learned something new. So hope that's still in place. Thank you once again for listening. If you haven't already, please put a review up on our Apple Podcast and show some support as well by sharing it on your social media platforms. And we have next week episode to come through, so make sure you listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. on software such as Apple Podcasts and Spotify and other things like that. So we're gonna see you in another episode, guys.